How are you doing? Good. It's good to be with you today and to worship. I have a tradition, three requests. Number one, if you don't play with your phones, unless you're a doctor.
Am I on here? Good.
Number two, that you pray that God guides my thinking. Because you want to hear what the Lord has for you, not from me. Amen? Number three, that we focus on what God has for us. Spirit of Prophecy says that Lucifer watches what is being prepared to be spoken about, and he works to distract the mind. As you go to different churches, I've seen it many times where people are so distracted doing so many different things. Exactly what the enemy wants. We don't want that, do we? Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer before we get started here. Loving Father, we come before you once again. We want to thank you for waking us up to another day of life, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us, Father. Without you, we can do nothing. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's interesting. I got a call from somebody, and they said, could you preach on the love of God? I take that very seriously. When someone asks me specifically to preach about the love of God, because how can you actually explain the infinite one? That is very daunting. We think of a baby being born in a manger. Yes, people say that's the love of God. But it's a lot more than that. As we look at the world, and as we see what's going on, depression, suicide, mental anguish, people are hurting. Everywhere. And people have the question, how can it be that I hear about this God of love and there be such massive pain and suffering and destruction in the world? How can it be that there is a God that cares about me? Are you with me? Suicide, sad to say, is number one amongst youth. Mental illness is off the charts. People are so distracted. We think we arrived at an age where technology is going to fix everything. And the harsh reality is people are more lonelier than they ever been. As they look at their smartphones, as they're at their technology, and they have all their friends, how many friends do you have on Facebook? It's all a mirage. It's all an illusion. People are hurting. People are wondering what is going on. So we will touch on this, on the love of God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to try to attempt this. Genesis. Go with me in your Bibles to Genesis. Genesis 1:26. This is so powerful. Genesis 1:26. Are we there? Amen. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, and all creeping things on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image he created him, male and female, he created them. Amen? Don't go to sleep with your eyes open on me. God created man in his image. You grasp the awesome majesty of God to create us in his image? Really? That is a gift. The gift of intelligence that God has given you is very special. Ain't you glad you were created a tree? Huh? Or a kangaroo? Intelligence is a gift from the Creator. And so many people don't realize how precious that gift is. Now, what does it mean to actually be created in the image of God? That is the question. Because as we look at the world and we look at the different religions of the world, do you see the image of God? If we're honest, do we see the image of God? Because a lot of people, I've heard this countless times. They look at other church members. Excuse me. They look at other church members. And you know what they do? They get frustrated. Oh, that's what a Christian is. Oh, okay. A lot of people are leaving the churches because of what they see. Are you with me? Is this what God wanted when he said, I made man in my image? Not at all. Not at all. It's amazing what happened so fast. Let's go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. 15. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded to man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We're talking about the love of God. God created us free moral agents and said, it's all yours. I've created it all for you, and I love you. But there's one stipulation. Just don't eat from this tree. That was it. How elementary 2 + 2 can you get? Here we are created in the image of God, absolutely fearfully and wonderfully made. He gives us everything, and he says, just don't eat from that one tree. That's all I ask. And you know the story, what happens. We do the exact opposite of what God says. That's powerful. You want to know why you look around in the world and you don't see the image of God? It's because people do the exact opposite as God says. That is the problem. That's why people are so frustrated. And they don't see the love of God. They don't see the image of God because people are doing the exact opposite of what God says. And it happens very fast, very quickly. The cascade of the depravity of man is like a hurricane. It happens so fast. When you disobey God and you do the exact opposite of what God says, it is absolutely detrimental to you. Don't think you could disobey God and it's okay. And we're going to find out. Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Verse 8. Genesis 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. You know, there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. People get this, say, I've been there, done that. When you read scriptures, I've heard that. Do you really grasp the magnitude of what's happening here? Just that fast, we have fallen so quickly that Cain kills his brother. Now, parents, could you imagine getting a call saying that your son killed his brother? Picture the heartache. The absolute heartache of Adam and Eve as they see this, that their son killed their brother. This is heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. It is so catastrophic what is happening so fast. Now we're talking about the love of God. How can this God of love, how can he allow his brother to kill his brother? You ever thought about that? Why didn't God stop him? It's said all the time. If God is a God of love, why is my child suffering? If his God is a God of love, why are these hurricanes? If God is a God of love, why this and why that? It's been the question down through the ages. Why did God allow this to happen if he's a God of love? And that is a good question. Why? Absolutely amazing. Spirit of prophecy touches on this. Listen to what the spirit of prophecy says on this. The class of worshipers who follow the example of Cain includes by far the greater portion of the world. We don't want to listen to what God says. We'll worship God the way we want to, because that was Cain's problem. He wanted to do it the way he wanted to do it, but yet under the form of worship. And he killed the one that was worshiping truly. We need to understand this. Cain includes by far the greater portion of the world, for nearly every false religion has been based on the same principle. Did you catch that? On the same mindset as Cain. That man could depend upon his own efforts for salvation. It is claimed that the human race is in need of not of redemption, but the development that it can refine and elevate and regenerate itself. As Cain thought to secure the divine favor by an offering that lacked the blood of a sacrifice, so do these expect to exalt humanity to the divine standard, independent of the atonement. That's the problem. The history of Cain shows what must be the result. It shows that man will become apart from God when you try to do it your own way as Cain. It's catastrophic. Humanity has no power to regenerate itself. It does not tend upward toward the divine, but downwards towards the satanic. And that's what's going on in the world. And people have the questions. This is exactly saying what is really going on. Christ is our only hope. There is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. She breaks it down. Absolutely powerful. So Cain takes out his brother, the cascade of depravity and tyranny happens so fast that God has to do something. Revelation, or Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. Now remember, we're still talking about the love of God. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Wow. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for he repented me that I have made man. Here we came, straight from the Creator's hand, created in his image, a loving, caring God, so fast to this side where God says, I got to wipe the whole thing out. Wow. This God of love is going to wipe the whole planet out? What? How can you be a God of love when you're going to destroy everybody? What is your issues, God? I think you're confused. I don't think you got this right. That's how people think. They try to understand the mystery and the leadings of the Divine One. God sees and understands what you do not see and understand. Amen. Spirit of Prophecy touches on it. I'm reading from Patriarchs and Prophets. Love. Love no less than justice demanded for the sin should be inflicted. God is the guardian as well as the sovereign of his people. He cuts off those who are determined. Now she explains why. Why is God going to wipe out this whole generation? What is your reasoning, God? She explains, he cuts those off who are determined upon rebellion, that they may not lead others to their ruin. Did you catch that? In sparing the life of Cain. So why didn't God just wipe Cain out? God had a reason. Amazing. She says, in sparing the life of Cain, God demonstrated to the universe what would be the result of permitting sin to go unpunished. The influence exerted upon the descendants by his life and teaching led to a state of corruption that demanded the destruction of the whole world by a flood. Wow. She says exactly why this God of love happened, let it happen. Because depravity of mind leads others right down that same path. And it would have been inevitably they would have destroyed each other. If you think not listening to God and going down a path where you're listening to other people that are not godly, and you think it's going to be fun, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be the thing to do, and it's cool with my friends, it's cool with my colleagues, it's cool with whatever, do not be deceived. It is going to lead you down to the road of destruction. Amen. This is serious stuff because we're talking about the love of God. God loves us so much, he says, don't go down that road. And yet, as a whole, society is going right down that road. Is it not? Yes, it is. Absolutely. So God destroys the whole world with the flood. Now what, God? What are you going to do now? You destroyed the whole world. We know the story. Noah gets out and everything starts over. But look at, God is amazing. Look at the majesty of God. Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 8. This is God's solution to this world that has totally gone awry. To this world that's totally headed in the wrong direction. And let them make me a sanctuary that what? I may dwell among them. Amen. Amen. Did you catch that? Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. These stiff-necked, rebellious people, I still want to be with them. God is incredible. Look at yourself and say, you know what? God wants to be with me. Really? Yeah. Well, if you're being honest, can you be honest with yourself? I mean, when you actually, when no one's around and it's just you, you have to face you. Am I right? Some of the hardest things at night is sitting in bed and you're looking at yourself. Who am I? You know who you are. God wants to be with you. God is so majestic. He is beyond comprehension. That God wants to be with you. Wow. So God starts a whole litany of instructions for mankind, how he's trying to teach them that he wants to be with them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But God destroyed the whole world by a flood. He sets up the sanctuary service. Now, this is interesting. This is very interesting. Let's go to Jonah. Go to Jonah. We're going to draw a contrast here. Jonah, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. Didn't he just destroy the world a way back because of their wickedness? Now God tells Jonah, go to that city, their wickedness has come up before me. Go down there and talk to them. But Jonah rose up and fled unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fee thereof and went down into it and unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This is human nature at its best. This is human nature at its best. God says, no, Jonah, go down there and tell those people their wickedness. Go down there and talk to them. Jonah says, you know what? That's nice, Lord, but you got the wrong person. I'm out of here. Thank you, but no thank you. How many times has God asked you to go speak to somebody or to go do something that is out of your comfort zone? And you said, thank you, but no thank you, and you head the other direction. These stories are there for modern-day Israel to help us understand. Jonah did the exact opposite. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. 1, 2, and 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord, and it was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. So Jonah goes down there, he stalks him. But what happened in that interim before Jonah went down there? I specifically left that out so you could help me. What happened in between Jonah saying, I'm not going to go, and then finally Jonah says, I'm going to go? He got stuck in what? A well. What is God trying to teach us? When God tells you to do something and you do it, it could wind up into a circumstance in your life. You go, how am I in this situation? Lord, get me out of it. Huh? That's what it's trying to teach us. God is so patient with us. We're talking about the love of God. God doesn't think like we think. Jonah, chapter 4. This is amazing. Jonah, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah, and he was exceedingly angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I will fled unto Tarshish, for I know thou art a gracious God. I know who you are, God. For I know thou art merciful, slow to anger, and great of kindness, and repenteth thee not. Now therefore, O Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die. Wow. This is an incredible story. When it's all said and done, he understood the character of God. He said, yeah, you're good, you're merciful, God, but you know what? I don't like these people. I don't care about them, Lord. They're Pentecostals. They're Latter-day Saints. I don't like them. They're drug addicts. They're gossipers. They're mean-spirited. Lord, just let me die because you saved them. Wow. Talk about a twisted mindset. You see what the enemy does to us? When we disobey God, he totally tweaks our thinking. Well, we don't think like God thinks. We actually would have been more happy if they were destroyed. And a lot of people think like that. Absolutely tragic. Absolutely tragic. God wants us to try to win the lost. Amen. Amen. So what? There's something I've left out of this. Why is man in this predicament? Why is his mindset like this? Why does he think in a way that he does? Why? Isaiah. Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. 14. This is why. Isaiah 14:12. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Here's the problem. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also on the mount of the congregations of the swords of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the like the Most High. Lucifer had planted in the mindset of man the I syndrome. It's all about me. It has affected humanity like a plague. People are concerned with number one, uno, me. Are you with me? That was Jonah's problem. He didn't care about them. Just wipe them out, and I'll be a happy camper. Are we concerned when we see people in a bad situation and they're straying from God? Is our mindset, I hope they get what they deserve? A lot of people think like that. We're talking about the love of God. That is not the way God thinks. That is not the way He thinks. His thinking is totally opposite of our thinking. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As heaven is higher than earth, so are my thoughts. God wants us to get back on board with His thinking. Amen. Someone's awake. Praise God. Amen. God wants to get us back on board. So what is God's remedy for this madness? John. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and not without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was what? Life. Do you want to live? Do you want to thrive? Amen. Hook up with the source of life. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. This is so powerful. When man was made in God's image, you say, what is the image of God? What is it really all about? The God that created us in His image said, you know what? I am going to step down from my throne, the one that Lucifer coveted. Says, I'm going to step down from my throne, and I am going to come in the midst of these fallen people. The majesty of God, the absolute love of God that would step into this sin-ridden rebel of a planet and say, you know what? This is where I am going to plant my tabernacle. I want to be with these broken people. Amen. Ain't you glad of who God is? Amen. So He steps into our world. God is so awesome. Luke. Go to Luke. Go to verse 1. Now we're going to get God as He interacts with people. Actually, you know what? I don't think I want to go to that one. I'm going to do that one. Yeah. Actually, let's go to Luke 5. Sorry. Let's go to Luke 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of the town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, a man brought in a bed, a man was taken a pulse, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find but the way they might bring him because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. What? This is such a powerful story here. Here this man, he's a total mess. He's laid on his bed. His friends hear about Jesus. We love our brother. We love you, brother. We heard about this man. His name's Jesus. And he cares about people, and he wants to help people. We're going to take you to him. This is to represent the friend of friends, too. They take this brother. They come to the crowd, and there's no way to get in there. Now, let's face it. Modern-day Christians, if there's any obstacle, we're out. God tells us to go there, we're out. These people said, you know what, we got to get you to Jesus. Picture it. All of a sudden, stuff starts dripping down, gambling, and some guy gets laid down right before you. It's actually a spectacle, to be honest with you. But this is what true friends do. What length will you go to lead someone to Jesus? Huh? What length will you go to lead someone to Jesus? It's hard for us to get off the couch. Or get off the phone. Put down our toy. Don't make me uncomfortable. Do you truly love people like God loves them? These people went way, way, way out of their comfort zone. Amen? Will you get out of your comfort zone to reach somebody? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man, thy sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying in their, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, why reason in your hearts? Which is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven, or to rise up and take up thy bed and walk? Understand this. Jesus says, which is easier? Take up your bed, or your sins be forgiven? Now, this is interesting. The Spirit of Prophecy touches on this. Before he even heals him, he says something to him. He says, your sins are forgiven. That's not what they brought him there for. They brought him for a physical malady. Jesus Christ knew what they didn't know. His real problem was in his mind. Spirit of Prophecy says he was being crushed with guilt. That was worse than his physical problem. And only Jesus knew it. Everybody, his friends, like, whoa, why did he say that? What? God is so good. He goes straight to the issues in our lives. And he tries to deal with what is really plaguing us. The physical is minor compared to the mental. He was suffering from being plagued by the enemy and his lifestyle. And Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. Amen. So many people today are so hurting, so distraught, so physically messed up because of the mind. She says, guilt is tormenting. God is trying to set us free from it. Praise God. Amen. Are you suffering? Are you hurting within? That's why suicide and mental anguish and all the things that are going on is because of mental illness of the mind. Amen? That's why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Lucifer knows that principle. God is too good. Amen. But yet you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You have the power to forgive sins. Yeah. Praise God. He said to the sick of palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy couch and go to thy house. Amen. Jesus, you're too good. Get up. I've forgiven you. I've healed your physical things. Now go home to your house and shout it. They lowered you to the roof. Now you go on top of the roof and proclaim it. God is good. God wants to heal us. God wants to help us. This is who God is. The God of love. Oh, God is so awesome. Let's go to John. John 8. This is a powerful, powerful story right here. Powerful. John 8, verse 1. Jesus went out from the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came in unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought in a woman taken in adultery. Taken in what? Adultery. And when they had sat her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in law commanded that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now picture the spectacle. Picture, the spirit of prophecy says, she says, put your mind there, imagine it in your mind. Picture the spectacle, we're having a church service. All of a sudden, your lead elders bring some woman and they throw her down right there. Everybody, she's committed adultery. Church, look at her. You believe this? She ought to be ashamed of herself. She was caught. What a spectacle. Spirit of prophecy says that Jesus Christ, in his purity, he just kind of looked at it and was just like, oh, these people don't get it. They just don't get it. They bring in this one. Now picture the woman. Hair hanging down over her face. She's crying. She's weeping. She's laying on the ground. Total embarrassment. Total mockery. And everybody's staring at her like, oh. Wow. What a spectacle. Moses said that such should be stoned. What sayest thou, Jesus? We know what you should do. Kill her. Whose mindset is that? Cain, because there's two mindsets. Cain and Abel. The mindset of Cain is always kill, destroy, under the guise of worship. Was Cain worshiping? Yes. The mindset of kill her. She doesn't deserve to live, Jesus. This, they said, tempted him, that they might accuse him, but he stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. But there's a time when you don't even need to listen to people. Just do what Jesus tells you to do. Amen? Amen. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that was out sin, let him first cast a stone at her." There's only three times in the Bible where God writes with his own finger. Moses and the Ten Commandments. There's some things that only God himself will do. He wrote with his own finger the Ten Commandments. And here, he's writing again with his own finger. But he's writing in the dust. And what is he writing? Their lifestyle. You bring this woman right here to be killed. It all looks good in front of everybody. You play the role real good. You bunch of hypocrites. I know who you really are. And he starts writing their life. Jesus is so gracious, though. You notice he's not writing it on stone. He's writing it in dust. So he could blow it away. I even forgive you hypocrites. You don't understand what you're doing. In the Bible, what does a woman represent? The church. The church has played the harlot. But God says, "I don't condemn you. Straighten out your act." Jesus says to her, "Where are those that condemn you?" "They're all gone. Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Picks her up. "Oh, my precious, precious child. This is what's causing your destruction. Your lifestyle. Please listen to what I'm telling you. Leave this lifestyle. This is what's destroying you. Don't do it no more. Change your life." Whenever God deals with our sin, it's for correction, it's for restoration, and it's for wholeness. You think that woman left a different person? Yes. Why? Because the love of God reached her. She realized that this man actually loves me. He doesn't want to take advantage of me. He doesn't want to make a spectacle of me. He wants to help me. That's what God wants from all of us. He wants us to help each other. Amen? God is so awesome. So what is the image of God? What is the image of God? Hebrews. Chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. "God, who at sundry times spoke in divers manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom we appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the power of his word, when he had himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." So what is the image of God? Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the true image of God. When we were created in the beginning, we were created just like Jesus Christ. Through the fall, we had drifted so far that we were reflecting anything but the image of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is so awesome. He says, I'm going to step down from the throne. I'm going to get what Lucifer wanted. I'm going to go amongst these people, and I am going to show them the image of God once again. This is who we are, people. God created us to be just like Him. Amen. The love of God is so great. Spirit of prophecy. She touches on some things that are powerful, very powerful. You may say, I do keep the commandments of God. Adventists, brothers and sisters. But do you carry out the principles of God? In your home, in your family, do you never manifest rudeness, unkindness, and politeness in the family circle? She's saying it starts in the family circle. How do you treat your family? Because you can put a good show in the world. How are you at home? Men and women, children and youth are measured, catch this, men and women, children, youth are measured in the scales of heaven in accordance with which they reveal in the home life. A Christian in the home is a Christian anywhere. Wow. How do you treat your children? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? She nails it. Because everybody comes to church and puts on their good churchy clothes. And puts on their good churchy face. How are you really when no one is around? How do you treat your family? This is powerful. She is nailing it. A Christian at home is a Christian anywhere. Have you told your wife how much you love her? Your children? Children, have you told your parents how much you love them? Yes! Praise God. Praise God. You see where she gets to the root? God wants us to cherish each other in the family union and love one another. Because when the family unit is loving each other and treating each other with love, respect, and kindness, and Christ-like character, it just flows out into the world. That's why the enemy is attacking the home. We need to take this counsel to heart. And all of us have failed. All of us have failed, if we're brutally honest. But God is good. God is good. Every day is a new day. God says, change it today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of change. We're talking about the love of God. Do you want to be like God? Do you want to be like God? Amen. So what is God waiting for? What is God waiting for? Is he waiting for the Pope to make another move? Is he waiting for Trump to make a move? Why hasn't God come yet? What's the holdup? Us. Listen to this. Last day events. Christ is waiting and longing, desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the reflection of his own self in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Stop looking for this. Stop looking. The enemy has a heyday with this. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. We should be watching the signs. But keep the main thing the main thing. The character of Christ being formed in you. The hope of glory. The infinite God of love being reflected in you. That's what God wants. That's what God's waiting for. Well, people see you and they go, man, wow, that person just truly loves me. They truly care about me. That is so different from what the world offers. The world wants to talk about you. It wants to cut you down. It wants to destroy you. And the God of heaven is saying, walk with me, and I will lead you to the gates of paradise. And you will live, and we will live with the God of love forever. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Father, we want to thank you for the majesty and the beauty of who you are. To step down from the throne of the universe, to come to this darkened, sin-ridden world, and to show us your image, Lord, who we were created to be, Lord. You said, without you, we can do nothing, Lord. This is an impossible task, but through you, it will be accomplished, Lord. Help us to leave here today, Lord, changed, a mindset change, Lord, to seek your kingdom first and reflect the beauty of your character in love. In Jesus' name, amen.